two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Anton Bettis with you, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Not just a sunny day, but boy, my favorite time of year, my favorite type of temperatures, Ton. And I know we need the water, but man, am I enjoying these nice temperatures.
Oh, I am too. When I was first married, I tried to talk my wife into moving someplace that had mild winters and due to a number of reasons, she said no. So we're here. No, it's all good because I love Utah. But,
it's a beautiful place.
It has been really nice, and I enjoy this weather. You know, it's that time of year where you maybe run your air conditioner in your car during the afternoon and the heater in the morning. That's perfect for me.
Me too. But it's going to get cooler whether we like it or not. We wanted to talk just for a few minutes this morning about fall leaves and when they're harmful for the lawn, when you need to actually collect them or when you should be, you know, mowing them into the lawn. So for a minute, just talk about that. When is it harmful to keep those leaves on your lawn?
Well, they should be, unless you have like one leaf every foot or so, they should be either, you know, if they're thinner, be mowed. And you can mow them into the lawn, and then chopping them up, they'll break down relatively quickly. But if it's to the point to where it's getting to where you can't see the grass,
then it's too many.
Yeah, it's too many, and they're going to need to be collected. And so what I personally like to do is to take my mower out, and I will chop them up first and just mulch them that way, and then I bag them.
Right. That is so much easier, too, by the way. They take so much less space.
They do. And I'll just use my mower bag, and then I will just take the mower bag right to my garden area. And because they're chopped up, they decompose more quickly in the garden, but they're easier to work into the soil. If you have great big leaves, if you've ever tried to till those, it's very, very difficult. But if you chop them with your mower first, it's much easier to incorporate those into the soil. Now, you don't necessarily need to mow them, but if your lawn is pretty covered, the reason besides, you know, they are so beneficial to our soil to get them off is that when they get snow on them, they create a layer that oxygen doesn't move through very easily, and it smothers out the lawn, and you can also get fungal diseases like snow mold that will do further damage.
Yeah, I know in November usually there's a nice day that we go out and get whatever leaves have we didn't get a chance to clean up, get cleaned up, because, yeah, you don't want to leave them there. Besides the fact that they don't look very good.
They don't. And they're just, yeah, it's bad for the lawn. And chop them up. Use them in your flower beds. And, you know, people keep talking about putting mulch to improve the soil or compost. Well, those chopped up leaves put into your flower beds around the perennials that you've chopped down will decompose quickly, and it's just free, and it improves the soil, and you don't really need to work them in once they're chopped up a little bit. You can lightly rake them, but they will decompose and improve the soil.
All right, let's go back to our phone lines this morning. We have several people waiting. Let's go to Cindy in Blanding. Good morning, Cindy. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. I have some carrots that are in the garden, and it looks like they've got a powdery fungus or something on them. Can I spray for that now? Because I want to, some of them I would like to overwinter. You know, I put grass clippings and then corn stalks on top and keep the ground soft so I can dig them throughout the winter.
You know, I am cautious about spraying those leaves at this time of year because you may have a wait period before you can eat the carrots. So
okay.
It might be that you harvest them. How many do you have?
Oh, it's probably 20 feet is all.
Okay. Because they, I mean, it's kind of a pain, but you can harvest them and then store them in something like sand or perlite and then just put them in the garage or someplace where they're just held, you know, at those really cool temperatures, and they'll hold through the winter that way if the tops look like they're going to rot or something. If I had some pictures, you know, that might be better. One thing I would recommend doing is maybe upload some pictures to Utah Gardening Experts. That's someplace I will see them. Sheridan Hansen, who is one of our gardening experts and very astute gardener, would see them also, and we could get some opinions that way on whether you need to dig them and cut the tops, you know, trim them back, or if you can leave them in the ground.
Okay, great.
Powdery mildew, I think they would be okay because that doesn't get into the roots. But I just wanted to confirm that it is powdery mildew and not something else that will cause those roots to rot.
Okay. All righty.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Cindy,
appreciate your
listening.
Help.
Thanks for calling today. Next listener wants to know, they say they have a lawn that looks like someone aerated it, but they didn't. He says it has large holes everywhere. What might this be and how do they get rid of it?
We've been actually taking a few calls on that in the extension office, and I suspect that it's raccoons or skunks digging things living under the lawn out to eat.
So what do they do about that? A trap.
A trap of some sort. Now, you need to be careful with that because if you trap a skunk and it's just one of those wire mesh cages, you could be in trouble. And so you need to, the animal control oftentimes will have a cage appropriate. The other side to this is that if you trap a raccoon, that the law requires it actually be destructively harvested and not released back out into the wild because they're considered a pest here and they're not native. And so when you start trapping things, there's always that consideration. And so if you don't want to go to that extent, maybe borrowing a neighbor's dog that isn't afraid of animals, and if it's a warmer night, have it sleep out on the deck or something and just look around to see if you can scare whatever it is off.
Personally, I can't trap things. Just, you know, given what you just told me, I'm not going to be trapping anything.
We've had some feral kittens running around our house that I've been trying to get in a live trap. It's a non-harmful.
Well, that's
not
a little
harming
bit different,
them.
Though, right?
But what I have found, Maria, is I have caught every cat in the neighborhood and not those kittens.
Not those.
So I'm out $3 or $4 in hot dogs and trying to get these things, and these cats, I'll go out in the morning, you can just hear them yowling to get out. And I understand that they're kind of, you know, nervous and don't know what's going on. And I turn them loose. But for the life of me, these kittens are more cagey than the adults.
Mm. You may need to embrace the fact that you have feral cats in your neighborhood.
Well, we have somebody that will adopt them if I can get them.
Oh, well, okay.
And so that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, good luck on that one.
Thank you.
And our next listener says they are looking for, they have a west-facing backyard. They're looking for a columnar tree for privacy. or a shard and a large tree for a larger lawn area shade tree. Now, they're hoping for trees with no fruit or other matter besides leaves that can be messy to clean up. A pretty fall leaf, though, would be a bonus. And they live in Bountiful, and they don't have any power lines to worry about.
Boy, I've been trying to come up with a columnar tree that doesn't get something. And, you know, the first one I'd recommend is columnar oak, because you can get one like Kindred Spirit that gets 5 feet wide and about 25 to 30 tall, or you can get regular columnar oak that get up to about 50 feet, depending on the size. But whether you use columnar oak or columnar lindens, everything is going to have some sort of fruit. You know, and the last thing, you know, that doesn't are Lombardy poplars, but those die oftentimes within 15 or 20 years of being planted. And I just don't wish those on anybody unless it's the last tree that you can do that nothing else survives. So if you wanted something that's a little slower, that's still relatively clean, that just won't get anything, probably a columnar linden, something like Corinthian linden or some of the other narrower varieties.
Okay, what about a clean, large shade tree for their larger lawn area?
Honey locust is seedless. They can revert and switch sex sometimes, and so you'll have this thornless seedless tree that 25 years in all of a sudden has seeds all over it, and they just sometimes do that. I don't know why, but honey locust would be a clean one. You know, the ash used to be one we could recommend, but they have so many problems anymore that I don't recommend planting ash. Maybe sensation box elder, but that one can get some Phytophthora or Verticillium in it after 20 or 25 years. And so if they're really that serious about just, you know, we're going to do nothing but a seedless, you know, just super clean tree, honey locust is about it. Or maybe if they can find it, espresso Kentucky coffee tree.
All right. It's kind of like pick your evil.
It is. Right? Yeah, and the espresso Kentucky coffee tree gets big, 50 feet. The honey locusts get up to around 40.
All right. Well, that's a way to make the decision right. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your calls and questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Let's take a call from Cedar Hills. Bob, good morning, and how can we help you?
I have a yard with a bunch of boxwoods, fire bushes, sagebrush, and some evergreen shrubs that are 2 to 3 foot high. And we've always typically trimmed these back for a fall cleanup in October. Is that the proper time to do that?
No, it's not. Maria and I have been having interventions every week to where we have your significant other take your pruners away until spring.
Actually, she's the one that wants them.
Oh, mm-hmm. So you need to hide the pruners.
Hide them.
The fall's not the time to prune trees and shrubs. So what I would recommend doing is in the spring, you can do that. And now if you have branches that are diseased, those definitely should come out. Or if they're a danger, you know, if you have a tree that's obstructing your view out of the driveway, or if someone comes skateboarding past your house at 2 a.m. and they're going to get clotheslined, you know, things like that, get them out. But in general, you can start pruning shade trees in mid-January, and then the shrubs, mid-March is a good time to do a lot of the shrubs. Now, if they're flowering, spring flowering, you wait till they're done flowering to prune.
Oh, okay.
Okay. In defense of your wife, though, sometimes things need to be cleaned up a little bit, and you know, you want to just make the yard look better, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that's the genesis of the whole thing. I have a couple of sagebrushes that are 4 to 5 feet high. I mean, they're really big plants. Should I wait to trim those back until the spring also?
I would. And on those, if you can, you'd use a technique called renewal pruning, where you take some of those branches out toward the middle of the plant and leave others behind. But they will tolerate a little bit of a haircut because they are a browse plant for wildlife. But it'd be best to wait for spring on that, too.
Okay. Appreciate
it.
Thank
you. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know, they've turned a children's sandbox into a vegetable garden by adding in compost and tilling in leaves. And they've now read that tilling every year is bad for the soil structure. And they want to know, is it better to continue tilling leaves into the garden or leave the soil unamended? Is it bad to till compost in every fall?
Because they're in essence growing a garden in straight sand, the rules don't apply in this case.
Different rules.
And because it's sand, they don't really get a lot of soil structure developed like you would in a loam or a clay loam or something like that, even a sandy loam. And so in this situation, we're treating it almost as like an artificial potting soil, and they're going to need to keep incorporating organic matter and compost to keep it productive. And so they are going to have to work that organic matter in.
So I'm wondering, though, if they actually replace the sand in there and actually put soil in, would that change your recommendation?
A little, but they can work the soil. And so if they wanted to get a spade or a shovel and hand dig the compost in, that doesn't ruin your soil structure. It's gentle. And if it's a sandbox, it's small enough that you could definitely do that. You know, people are so afraid, you know, if I till once a year, I'm ruined. And it's just not like that. You know, I've talked to two different soil professors. One recommends once a year and the other one's fine with twice, you know, spring and fall tilling. It's just that when we engage in what we call recreational tilling, to where it used to be a thing to go out once every week or two and just fluff that soil in the garden and it just would look pristine, that ruins the soil structure. But a gentle tilling in the spring or even in the spring and fall is fine. And if you're really worried about it, hand dig it and use a shovel.
All right. Let's take a call from Phil in Lehigh. Good morning, Phil. How can we help you this morning? Phil, are you there? Okay. Let's take a call from Doug then in Idaho. Good morning, Doug.
Hi there.
What can we help you with?
I had a question. Can I plant asparagus seeds right now?
Probably. If they didn't germinate, they would come up in the spring.
That's what I was hoping for. Is there any soil preparation I should be mindful of?
Well, I mean, asparagus seed, it would be fine if you're just wanting like the ditch bank asparagus. If you're wanting a super productive patch, I would recommend getting some of those root starts in early spring, and if you're really serious about it and doing some rows in your garden, USU has a great fact sheet on how to do that, to where you dig some trenches about 8 inches deep and get those installed, and then over a couple of years you slowly backfill that trench as the asparagus grows. But if you're just wanting some ditch bank style asparagus, throw that seed out, and you know, some of it's bound to germinate in the spring.
Well, I've got an area to hill. It's 15 feet by 125 feet, so I figured if I just planted seeds in a uniform manner, I might have some success come spring.
You may, but that asparagus is going to need to be supplement irrigated. It grows on ditch banks because that water runs down the ditch once a week, and it's perfectly happy with that. But you would have to have a sprinkler system or something and the ability to water, or else it wouldn't take.
Yeah, I have the ability to do that.
Okay.
So now
be prepared for, unless you're going to do a lot of weeding, be prepared for some asparagus and tons of weeds.
Well, birds eat the seeds off of my other asparagus, and then they plant the asparagus seeds all over the place. So I've got a lot of wild asparagus.
Okay. Good enough. We're up against a hard break, so we're going to have to go. We really appreciate
right.
your call.
Thank you, Doug,
thanks
for calling
so
this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.